Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the LA Rams UK podcast, episode 105, Downing the Browns. I'm John and joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks, mate. How are you?
Not bad. I'm starting to get used to this winning streak, are you?
Yeah, starting to get used to it, three in a row now, you know. It feels like Super Bowl year again, that we've got win after win after win.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet because of the matchup.
Yeah, just a little bit.
We'll get to that. But of course, folks, we're here to talk about the 36-17 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Now, going out of this game last week, we did say it was a winnable game. However, as you'll agree, Andy, we did say that it would be a particularly tough one, especially to deal with their defence. The scoreline doesn't seem to suggest that was the case, does it, Andy? And what was your initial thoughts on the game?
John, it was 35-19, mate. To be honest, mate, I think the scoreline flatters us up until literally the last 5 minutes of the game. It was a very, very, very close game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think their missed extra points sort of maybe put that impetus on us to go forward and like kill the game off. Yeah, and then there was a few sloppy mistakes, you know, a interception from Flacco, which, you know, was just a Hail Mary throw up ball, you know, and then obviously we got the safety as well. But, you know, for a good, you know, best part, you know, 3.5 quarters of the game, both teams were in it and both teams had the potential to win it. It was just, like I say, in the end, again, something we seem to lack is for the last number of seasons is luck. And this year, it seems to be the luck is more likely on our side where we're getting, you know, the turnovers and then the play to, you know, get it done. But, you know, a win's a win. They did have a few players out, but it kind of more on defense for 3 quarters of the game. We kind of yet again made, you know, a backup mediocre quarterback kind of look like a competent quarterback. You know, not taking anything away from, you know, Flacco. He did, you know, for 3 quarters plus of the game, he had a reasonably good game for someone who's literally just come. It kind of reminded me of the Baker Mayfield situation for us last year. He's like come off the street, you know, and basically, right, here you go, you're in. All right, he had a couple of extra days, but, you know, he's been sat on the, you know, chucking balls to his kids for a year. You know, but it was just worrying for a large chunk of the game as well. Like I say, the defense just kind of made the guy look, you know, competent, you know, middle of the park quarterback.
Yeah, he did certainly get a lot of pretty, not necessarily deep throws, but a good amount of medium kind of depth kind of throws against our defense. Like you said, we did make it look like the guy who literally hasn't came off the couch, basically. And I mean, that's not good. Like you said, it's quite similar to the Baker Mayfield situation. I actually think it's probably, from our perspective, it's worse than Mayfield, because Mayfield at least was already on a roster, was already seeing some game time, whereas Flacco's, you know, he's basically couched quarterback, really. So that doesn't really look good on the defense. But I mean, that side, on the defense, this week in particular, he got one of the game balls, John Johnson, third. We'd said earlier in the year that he'd been particularly quiet and wasn't really kind of seen much in terms of game time, Andy. But he got a game ball because he got a pick and he seemed to perform quite well. Any thoughts on his performance this week?
Yeah, you know, he came in, kind of did the job that, you know, we kind of expected him to do. I don't know whether there's been a few injuries or what have you that he's getting a bit more game time or what, but it is nice to see the guy back out there. You know, and I think especially for him, the pick against Cleveland, I think he's even said himself in an interview afterwards, you know, that meant more to him than anything else because of the fact he got cut by the Browns.
Yeah.
You know, so he was quite made up with that. But yeah, overall, I thought he had a reasonably solid game. You know, you look at him again, more so behind the scenes. He's helping, you know, with our younger, the rest of the guys, getting them into the right positions, getting them sorted, you know, getting them, you know, in the right positions, which I think is overall the last couple of weeks helping our secondary a little bit more, because he's, you know, he's getting the likes of Kendricks and Durant and that and saying, no, you move back 5 yards. No, go close up a couple of extra yards, you know, drift more. So you can see him sort of doing like he used to do with the green dots, sort of helping to keep that side organised.
Yeah.
And, you know, has been the secondary place for the last couple of weeks. While it's not, you know, perfect, it does feel like it's been a bit better than it has been for the last number of weeks before then.
Yep. Also in the defence, just highlighting again the conductor, Kobe Turner, 1.5 sacks this week, but in particular, he was involved in the safety. And what I want to highlight is basically him more or less dancing around in the end zone with Aaron Donald. I said it a couple of weeks ago, I say it again, I think it's pretty obvious the influence that Aaron Donald is having on this rookie, to the point that, well, who knows, it could be as good as Aaron Donald, who knows, but what I'm saying is, when Aaron Donald eventually does move on, we've got a ready-made replacement, on that defensive line.
We have, yeah, at the moment, you know, he's looking more confident again. I think as the games go on, as the years go on, he's getting more experience, a bit more training. Obviously, being alongside AD is a massive help for anybody. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, he's ever going to eclipse AD for what he does, but, you know, he's a good, competent player. You know, we've got one piece on that D-line now to help, and we just, you know, obviously, if Aaron Donald stays for another year, I do feel we just need to get somebody else alongside in the front three.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's basically that part of the field finished off. You know, our front three is basically sorted then.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Aaron Donald himself, he picked up 0.5 sack this week. Just turning over to the offense, before we get to the man of the moment again, just want to talk about Matthew Stafford's performance this week, Andy. So he was 22 for 37, 279 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Reviewing the highlights again just prior to us coming on to record this evening, I would surmise that Stafford seemingly, just going off the highlights here, just when I was viewing it, had a pretty decent game in terms of a lot of his throws were pretty much kind of almost on the money. Not obviously not, he's 23 for 37, so it's not perfect, but in general, he was completing a good amount of passes. Especially when you break some of them down. How do you feel his performance was this week, Andy?
Yeah, it was about, you know, average Stafford, to be honest. There were a few throws, obviously, they're not going to show them in the highlights. You know, the guy could have had, I think, one, maybe two picks. You know, one of them was pretty much straight in the guy's hands and he dropped it. The other one, you know, it was, I think, can't remember if it was Cup or Puka got in the way sort of a little bit to help sort of deflect it down. But, you know, there were a few moments where there was, again, that hero ball and you kind of look and go, what are you doing, mate? You know what? But overall, you know, not taking anything away from Stafford, there were a few moments, like I say, but overall, I thought it was just, I think what we've come to expect from Stafford, especially over the, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think now he's starting to, maybe whatever niggles he had, he's got over it. You know, his form appears to be getting better each week.
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot more rhythm to him.
Yeah. You know, and I think, again, one thing I will say, he doesn't seem to be moving around in the pocket as much. I don't know, maybe whether his back is hurting him or it's just a conscious choice now because the O-line's doing better for him. But I find him now that he's not sort of, you know, scrambling around more as much. You know, not necessarily scrambling like Lamar Jackson, but you sort of moving around the pocket and
bootlegging out. Being chased around the pocket, yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, he's more solid. He's, again, reading the defense better and reading, okay, well, Cup's not open. Atwell's open, right, off we go to Atwell.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to chuck it up at Atwell instead, you know. So I do feel he, don't get me wrong, he's a lot better than he was 3-4 weeks ago. We were all sort of like, Jesus, if this is the Stafford we're getting, going forward, it's time for him to be, no offence, we need his replacement.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later, like we discussed a few weeks ago. If this is what Stafford is going to be now for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, however long he's got left, you can live with that quarterback and potentially with players around him be successful. It almost feels like, I'm going to say it, it feels like playoff Stafford on our Super Bowl run. That's how he feels at the moment. A lot of good stuff, but there's still lows, you know, what the fuck moments sort of thing. What were you looking at there? But, you know, we won the Super Bowl with that sort of with Stafford like that. So if that's how he's going to be, then,
can we look for that?
Yeah, you know, we're happy with that. There's, you know,
but
more importantly, again, much like last week in this game, you know, you've got to give credit as well to the O-line. They kept the guy upright. He wasn't getting hit. I think he maybe had one QB hit whole game. You know, no sacks. You know, so I think that obviously is helping. We're giving the quarterback time. He's allowed to sit there. He's more comfortable in the pocket. He's not thinking, oh, Christ, you know, Miles Garrett's about to come off my blind side and take my head off.
Yeah.
So because he's more confident and more comfortable, like I say, he's sitting in the pocket and reading everything out better.
Yeah, I think, like, with the point you're raising here about the offensive line, I was just thinking there, and it's like, I know he had sacks in, you know, recent games, but compared to last year, where you could rattle off, well, he was sacked X amount of times, you know, it just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
This time, this season, with the improvements we've made to the offensive line, it's particularly Dotson. Avia has been great, but it's Dotson, I think he needs, the, like, a lot of the credit. Because that guy's been an absolute steal to get him on that offensive line. Giving Stafford the chance actually will be defenses. I mean, we've talked about it a few times. When you actually look at how he's spreading the ball around now, it's what you would expect any other quarterback to do. It's not a case of like, well, there's only three or four guys that he's targeted the whole game. In the majority of them have been Cooper Kupp. He's spreading the ball around to about a good seven or eight guys per game, pretty much. Now, quarterback his age, just you're saying about, oh, like, maybe it's stuff, maybe he's back, maybe he's got issues there or whatever, not, like, I'd like to think it's a case because he knows in his head he's got the confidence in his offensive line that he can just focus on reading the defence and reading the player that unfolds in front of him.
Yeah, I think as well, as I say, because the offensive line's playing better, he's not sort of going, right, you know, last season where he's hit every other snap, or you know, he's getting injured and ended up out of the game. He's kind of like, so he's probably last season maybe in his head going, I've got maybe 1.5-2 seconds, I've got to get rid of this ball. Right, first read, I'm just lobbing it. This time, it's like he's more calm, he's more confident. He's like, yeah, I can stand here for 2.5, 3, 4 seconds if I have to, because the line is giving them that hold up to have that chance to be able to do it properly. You know, and like I say, you know, as much as we've got to credit Stafford for what he's doing at the moment, you've got to say, you know, the offensive line has been quite
The unsung heroes of this season, is what I would say.
You know, and even in the run game, you know. Now, I will say, I was another analysis to watch this week actually highlighted Kevin Dotson. And basically, you know, even when he was traded, you know, he was like, why have the Steelers got rid of the guy? I don't understand this. What were they playing at? You know, and he did say when he came out of college and everything, he was a good pass blocker, but couldn't run block to save his life. Now we're seeing his, he said he's now, you know, he said, I've watched him this year with the Rams. He said, obviously, he was out for a few weeks. He didn't play for a few weeks.
Yep.
Maybe that was a bit of Rams coaching, because he said now all of a sudden the guy's a freaking fantastic run blocker as well. He said, and that's come out of nowhere in his career.
He's rated top five this season, is he not? For a guy who missed the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah. You know, he said, and as much as we, you know, he said, for me, he said, that is the trade so far of the season. It's the Rams getting the guy, he said, and it kind of, he says, we all moan about, you know, Ramsey's trade and it was a pile of crap, he says, but if you take Ramsey's trade and you trade what you got for Dotson and put it together, he said, you've got a fantastic trade. It's probably, as he said, it's so far for him, as far as he's concerned, it is the trade of the season. By getting
Absolutely. Just going back to the passing game there. So just breaking down the targets. So Stafford, like I said, he had 279 yards, three touchdowns. I'm just breaking down. 4 for 55 to Robinson, who got a touchdown. 6 to 39 for Cup, who got a touchdown. 2 to 35 to Higby. 3 for 24 to Williams. 2 for 12 to Skoronic. And 1 for, I think that's a 7 I wrote down there, for Atwell, who... One for nine. No, I couldn't. That's my handwriting on my notepad. I couldn't read it back for 7-9. I've got doctor's handwriting, so I struggle to read my own handwriting at times. Atwell in particular interests me because he's been usually quite higher up the kind of targeting yards list. But he's obviously spreading the ball around a bit more. But let's talk about the man in a moment. 4 catches, 105 yards, 1 touchdown, 34 rushing yards, surpassing the 1,000-yard reception marker for a rookie. It's your man, he got the game ball again. He had the whole team rallied around him in the locker room, going absolute mental for him. It's none other than, without a doubt, it's got to be, I've said that, offensive rookie of the year, Puka Nacua. And again, so he's on his touchdown catch, in particular, from Nacua, that we've said a few times, but this guy is just something else, isn't he?
Yeah, and more impressively, I think, than his touchdown catch was one he made where he acrobatically sort of 360'd in the air on the sideline and managed to keep himself in on the sideline. You know, that was something else. You know, that was something I don't think we've really seen out of the guy before.
Yeah.
But, you know, and for the guy who, especially because when he went down injured after that catch, you know, even the commentators on the TV are saying, you know, the way he went out to the locker room, he really did look like he was finished for a season. You know, and the commentators in the game, Mark Sanchez and that, were like, I think this, unfortunately, he's done for the year. He's not coming back from this. And then come the second half, he's back out on the field. And even they're like, what? How? You know, because he did. You know, even myself, when I saw him, more so when I saw him getting walked off to the locker room and he's holding his chest and his arm and he just looked like everything. I thought, oh no, here we go. He's done for the year himself. Yeah. For him to come back out and then have the performance he did, the guy is just superhuman, I think, at this point. I really do. You know, and for somebody who, you know, pre-draft process, it was, he's not very quick. He's, you know, injury prone, which, you know, he did have a lot of injuries in college. I don't know where he's been or what he's done, but he seems to be indestructible even when he is injured. It's like, yes, you know, give me a bit of a rub down, you know, a bit of deep heat and I'm off back out in the field for the second half and putting on a stellar performance.
Yeah. One thing I've found interesting this week in terms of Puka Nacua is stuff I've been seeing online. So there's a lot of been analysis about wide receivers from the previous draft. Mostly the first round receivers that were taken and where they're kind of ranking up. And it's like looking at the list and then looking at the comments underneath it, it's all like, you're like, Puka Nacua is absolutely destroying every single one of these guys.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a fifth rounder. Like, that's not to say, like, so, but like Z Flowers, for example, he's doing Brown in Baltimore. But like Puka Nacua is just like, he's on another level right now, yeah, from these guys. And I think it's just, we've said it before, we'll say it again, his injury history has been to our benefit because it's allowed him to drop down to the point we've basically stole him.
Yeah, we took a chance. We took a flyer on the guy.
It's the heist of the 2023 draft, basically. Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, yeah. And you know, if this is him in year one, I can't wait to see years 2, 3, and beyond.
You know, when I was watching the highlights of the game earlier on, it did actually cross my mind. I thought, we've got this guy for 4 years, potentially 5, on this rookie contract. I mean, granted, we'll have to pay him, and we will probably pay him, but like, it made me sit and think, and it. Sad in a way, because it made me think about Cup's future on the team, because it made me think, well, we're set in terms of wide receiver for our, basically, you know, number one guy for the next X amount of years. Like, we'll have a good few years with Cup and Nacua on the team, and even though Cup's not having a great year. It's not affecting like how the rest of the team's performing. So it's not a case of like last year when we were injury prone and cut went down injured and we totally lost it in terms of like our kind of wide receiver core. It's one of those ones that Cup has been able to go out. Granted, he's not been able to perform to the standards that he's used to, the performances he used to, and what we want from him and come expect. But it's taken a hell of a lot of pressure off him being the guy who's going to get the ball every single time. Like you said, Stafford's got no time, so he's looking to see where Cup is, just get the ball to Cup. We've actually been able to actually play as a unit rather than just A to B every time.
If anything, it feels now that Puka's target one. Targets that he's the number one go-to, and then it's a case of, he's read one, then Cup's read two, and then whoever Atwell, Higby's read three and four.
Yeah. Cup actually had the most receptions out of everyone. He had six over Nakua and Robinson, who had four each.
Yeah.
So had the most catches. They just obviously just couldn't get the yardage. I mean, they had a couple of good catches and got a touchdown. You know, within that, those 39 yards, and, the 6 points matters more than, getting 150 yards and no touchdowns, I guess.
Again, he maybe could have had another target, but he just seemed to, I don't know what, again, he just, whether it's his injury, he's holding them back, but, there was a ball that was basically to him, and he sort of just fluffed it. You know, and last year, or prime Cooper Cup, would have basically readjusted himself and caught that with ease and been off. This year, it seems to be like I say, he just can't adjust himself properly. He can't make those on-the-fly moves. And like I said before, the other week, I think it's just this injury is just nagging on the hamstrings, and that can, really hinder your performance. And that's why I do think, I don't think he's obviously now going to thing you, but he maybe should have had an extra few weeks out, come back 100% healthy rather than 85% healthy, which is what he feels like he is at the moment.
Yeah, it definitely does feel like it's not, Cooper Cup at his best.
Nah.
It does feel as if he's still kind of being held back. Maybe it's down to him. He's wanting to be playing. He wants to be out there. Maybe it's his decision or what. But like you said, I would rather he took those extra couple of weeks because we've got Nakua there, because we've got the likes of Atwell, really stepping up. We're in good hands to allow Cup to recover, recuperate, rehab whatever injuries he's got. Like, the hamstring seems to keep coming back this year. There's no rush for any of our players. Like, considering where we were 12 months ago, you think about it, it's absolutely nuts that we're actually now sitting, take your time coming back, because we don't need you to, as soon as you're ready to go, get back out there.
No, exactly. But like we've had the discussion before, it did feel like the offense actually ran slightly better when he wasn't there than it is. I think now that it feels like they've figured things out a little bit for a few weeks when he came back, it did very much feel like, he actually kind of interrupted the flow of everything.
Yeah, a little bit. But Cup's presence on our offense is still, having the threat of him out there is still good enough if he's not picking up the yards, picking up the catches, because it's got the defenses, they've got to keep an eye on him, because there will be 1 week where the defense will just drop the ball on coverage with Cup, and Cup will just set fire at them. It will happen. It can happen even with these injuries. So it's doing enough to have their secondary keeping a close tab on him and opening up spaces, channels, and routes for our other guys. So, he might not be put. It's, I guess there's a lot of analysts highlighting about AD's stats this year. It's not just about the stats that these guys record. It's about what they're actually doing per play, per snap, per drive that matters more. And they might not be putting up stats on yardies, but what they're doing out there is having an impact on the team as a whole.
With AD, they were highlighting it time and time again. Even throughout this game, there's Aaron Donald, and he's got triple teams again. There he is, getting double teamed. you know, and it's, oh, look, he's just broke through that double team. Oh, he's got through that double team. You know, look, he's just beat the triple team. You know, that one, that where he basically, I thought they were trying to flip, they were sort of trying to pull the centre round to get in front of that. And he was that quick that the centre didn't even barely move before he was, and, you know, and he dragged, I think it was Ford. Yeah, Jerome Ford, I think it was. He dragged him down for like an 8-9 yard loss because the ball had basically, as soon as it was in his hands, AD was just smothered him. He was already in the backfield and there. You know, they're the sort of plays that he can do and he does do. And it's, as you say, that threat to a to an offensive line of, well, we need to put you, we need two, maybe three, you know, covering the guy, you know, a tight end and two offensive linemen or two offensive linemen and a running back to try and stop him. Which then is allowing other people to get freed up. And
the likes of your Kobe Turners, for example, because we've now got two threats there. So it's
allowing... in the centre. And we've obviously got Byron Young on one side of the edge. And if we can just get somebody, a number one sort of edge rusher on the other side of him, I think our offensive, or, you know, our defensive line is pretty much sorted.
Yeah,
you know, it will pretty much be done, especially, you know, pass rush wise, especially we're done. That's it.
Yeah.
Job's already done. Because I think, you know, if Byron Young had somebody alongside him, you know, a bit more experienced or a bit more well known, if you like, you know, somebody like a Josh Allen from Jags, for example, or, you know, Dairy Dream, Chase Young in free agency, something like that, alongside him, I think, you know, we would be sorted. Perfectly sorted for everything.
Definitely, definitely. The last thing I wanted to bring up in terms of the game, it's a bit of a broken record. It's the kicker again. So Haverstick missed a field goal from, oh, I don't mean what yards.
43.
43, I can
He made the 44 yarder and then missed the 43.
That's, I had 44 in my head, but then I thought, no, that's what he made. So yep, once again, it wasn't even just missing it. That's the other thing.
The ball,
it didn't even hit the back of the net behind.
No.
The post. That's how wide it was, folks.
That almost went out the other end of the end zone at the freaking, you know,
and
nearly then, down the tunnel.
And then, to make it worse, the broadcast flagged up the stats. Havrisik has a lower percentage. The completion of kicks than Mayer did, and we got rid of Mayer seemingly now for less.
And suppose you think about it, games wise, he's not had as many games. So,
well, you know, yeah, I suppose it's maybe unfair, but there's been a reaction from the Rams as a result of another missed kick from Havrisik, and that is Mason Crosby being signed to the practice squad. Now, whether he's out there to basically wait in the wings, or he's out there to kind of provide a bit of competition or not, remains to be seen. But as of the time of recording, Havrisik is still a Ram, but for how much longer? Who knows, Andy?
Yeah, who knows? I do feel like this week is very much going to be a sort of kicker competition, you know, who can win the job. Because, yeah, Mason Crosby statistically has been good, but, you know, how old's the guy? 960 years old or something like that, you know. He's and this is why Green Bay got rid of him. His leg's gone. Anything below 45 yards, it's kind of getting a bit iffy if he's even going to make it. It might be perfectly on target, but it's the fact he may not, he doesn't have the leg strength anymore to make that distance. So I think it's just going to be a case of, but again, at the moment, if the Rams maybe are thinking, we can still potentially sneak into the playoffs here, you know, as the 7 seed, you know, come playoff time, you want a reliable, you need that reliable kicker, who, you know, is going to be, you know, certainly within the 50 yard line automatic, basically. And he's going to make your kicks no matter, you're not having to think about, hang on, we're at the 48 yard line. Is he going to make it or not? Well, we better run this fourth down play. And then it costs you, you know, those sort of things can, as we've seen time and time again, cost you games, and especially in playoffs scenarios.
Absolutely. On said topic of playoffs, would you believe, folks, that only a few weeks ago we were talking that playoffs are an absolute pipe dream, but yet here we are, 3 weeks later, we're now sitting number two in the NFC West, having the tiebreak over the Seahawks. We are sitting eighth in the NFC behind Green Bay, who hold the tie over us after beating us at Lambeau. We are very much in contention, in the hunt for a wild card spot. Andy, just yes or no, because we've got a tough one this week. Is it feasible for us to dream of the playoffs, or is it going to be one of those ones where, and it'll probably be the name of an episode at some point later in the season, it's the hope that kills you?
If things go our way, yeah. You know, I think this is why we are back in the hunt, is because teams around us have been losing games, and it's kind of allowed us, as much as we're winning games, we've also had results go our way. Uh-huh. You know, and, you know, we could do. I mean, I've just, I will say, you know, the likes of the Packers have got a much easier schedule than we have. I'll just quickly read off their games from now. This week it's the Giants, then they've got the Bucks, the Panthers, the Vikings, and then they finish with the Bears. If they play how they've been playing the past couple of weeks, I don't see them losing any of them games.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, obviously we've got our schedule. We've still got to play the Whiners. You know, hopefully at week 18 they're resting people because, you know, they're putting their third string out because, you know, that they're keeping fresh for the playoffs. You know, and obviously this week we've got the Ravens, who are pushing for potentially the number one seed in the AFC as well. You know, for them to get the home, you know, the week off and the home, you know, games. So, you know, we have, you know, but even some other teams around us, you know, we've got the Saints, you know, they've got Carolina, New York, obviously ourselves, Tampa and Atlanta to finish their season off. Uh-huh. So, you know, they've got reasonably early games, and then the Bucs have got Atlanta, Green Bay, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Carolina. You know, so we are still in the hunt, but I think we are going to have some games go our way for us to potentially maybe a couple, especially more so for Green Bay having a couple of upsets. You know, for us to get into the playoffs. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but we are going to have a little bit of luck come our way. But the way injuries for quarterbacks are going at the moment, mate, you just never know what happens. It seems to be every week another quarterback's getting injured.
You never know. Just you read out the Packers schedule, just if you've got it at hand. What's the Vikings schedule look like? Because right now we've got three teams from the NFC North that are in the playoffs. The 6 and 7 seed are both 6 and 6, as we are at the moment. It'd be interesting to see how the Vikings will shape up kind of going in to the remainder of the season. Because based off of what you're saying about the Packers there, I would say the Packers are pretty much a stick for possibly the 6th seed.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So the question really is, what's the Vikings schedule like? Because it made the game like that to the post.
Right, yeah. Vikings coming back now. They've got Las Vegas, Cincinnati, Detroit, Green Bay, Detroit. That's their final games of the season. So they've got Detroit twice and obviously Green Bay.
I would say it's the Vikings over Green Bay that we'd be more likely to pick to the post here. You know, considering that if they've got the Lions twice. Lions are currently, you know, 9-3. They're battling out with the 49ers to be the number two seeds. Which would be interesting because if the Lions then got but it's interesting, actually, as I raise this, because if we pop in at number 7, we obviously play the second seed, which right now is the Whiners. And based off of, you know, what I was just saying there, it could very well be the Lions as well, which would be a more interesting one for us.
Yeah, the one again that might be interesting for that one would be their Week 18 game, Vikings-Lions, because if the Lions are in, they may decide to rest their guys, you know, to make sure they're fresh for the playoffs. So some of it could come down to, you know, what teams are guaranteed, you know, if they're guaranteed the third spot and they're going to be like, well, we're not going to move from here. We might as well just rest everybody and make sure we're fit for the playoffs. You know, we've got that to consider, you know. So I'm saying, I'm hoping the Whiners come our game at the end of the year of, you know, maybe locked up, maybe even the number one seed by then. And then, you know, they're on their way. You know, because it's not even guaranteed Philly are going to get it because they've got Dallas this week, which is another hard game. So potentially the Whiners could even be going for number one, which means they may rest their starters.
You say that, but let's be honest, you know, against us, they're not going to rest their starters.
I don't know. I think they might if they've guaranteed themselves a number one spot, because they don't want to take that risk. A lot of teams don't want to take that risk because, you know, was it a couple of 3 or 4 years ago, a team decided to play the starters as the number one thing and they ended up losing like 3 or 4 players to injury for the rest of the year and they missed the whole playoffs, and it kind of put teams off, I think, doing that.
Yeah. But just like looking at the whole thing, it's crazy that it just shows you how quickly a season can turn. Well, but as we saw last year, how it can turn on its head so quickly for the negative. But this year, it just shows you get a couple of wins under your belt in a row, like we've done last few games. It just shows you how it can flip for the better. And you know, we're sitting here actually discussing and trying to work out, you know, in the hope that we're going to be there postseason now, as opposed to, you know, just like, let's just do the best we can and see the year out. We'll regroup and come back at it next year. But now, like, do you know, there's a chance for us to be in the postseason. So, let's go for it.
Yeah, let's go for it, you know.
We're not going to have what a top 10 pick, possibly.
Nah, I think at the moment we're picking about 14, 15th, I think, at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So, to hell with it.
Yeah, we might as well just go for it. Let's see what we can do. You know, get that. You know, if this team is, you know, that was a lot of pundits were saying, you know, was going to be right behind Arizona. You know, we could be potentially pick one, pick two, you know, a top three pick basically at the start of the season to where, you know, we're pushing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, that's fantastic.
Well, like 3 weeks ago, we were down there with Arizona. Yeah. Yeah, you know, exactly. we were 6 again or something like that? We were saying 5th or 6th, we looked like we were going to be picking. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, we're like...
I just say, it's just the way the league has been this year. That the league is sort of, you know, Seahawks have dropped a few games, you know. Yep. Things are just, you know, games are sort of flipping on their heads, you know, and all of a sudden it's actually, we're right back in this again because, you know, games have gone in our favour. You know, Vikings, as we said, they looked competent even when Josh Dobbs first came in. That roller coaster sort of slowly coming off the tracks, you know. So, you know, there is a lot of potential now that we could sneak that wild card space as number 7, and, you know, then it's playoff football. Anything can, you know, in playoff, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. And you know what? Anything could happen this Sunday as we head out east to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. We're in the early window this week, folks, and Sky Sports have picked up the game and described it as an elite matchup. We are 1-4 against the Ravens in our last 5. There's a lot of hope on the Discord server today, folks, because Jackson didn't practice, but let's be honest, it's probably a rest day. But you can live in hope, I guess. Andy, how are you feeling about this one, mate?
Yeah, sorry, guys. I just don't see us winning this one. I think Baltimore are just too complete. They've got a fantastic offense, fantastic defense. And I think this is just one of them games that it's just too strong. They're just too strong for us. Much like it, unfortunately, I hate saying it, like it was with the Whiners earlier on in the season. You know, and what have you, it's just too much. I think it's just a step too far at the moment for us. But if the thing I'm looking at more is, can we be competitive in the game? As long as we're competitive, I'll happily, you know, say happily take the loss, but, you know, I don't want us to lose, but I'll happily, you know, as long as we're competitive and we show that fight, you know, that's all we can ask for. You know, it'd be great if we can sneak the win, but I just don't, unfortunately, see it this week.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the main hope is that we can be as competitive for as long as possible in this game. Let's be honest here, folks. Lamar Jackson is very likely to terrorise us. You know, the guy's a dual threat quarterback. The guy plays as if, basically, he's literally on fire the way he moves about on offence. It doesn't matter what play gets called in their huddle. It could easily be a pass. It could easily be a run with this guy under centre. It's going to be a very long, well, it might not be a long day for the defence, because it's one of the ones, they might not actually be on the field that long because of how quickly the guy can move the ball up the field. For me, I just kind of want Sunday out of the way, because
yeah.
Same here. With the rest they were running, you know, having the likes of the Saints, the Commanders, you know, still to come up, and the Giants, I'm like, well, these are games I'd rather focus on, because they're games that we can, you know, and fingers crossed will win. And so I'm more focused on those games. This is a game that's like, right, we know how this is going to go. Let's just go out, be as competitive as possible. Maybe breed a bit of confidence that we can hang against like teams like this for as long as possible. And, you know, in the hope that if we come against, you know, someone of the equivalent in the playoffs, we could maybe just hang long enough to just sneak something, you know, cause an upset. For me, it's more about that. But like I said, I just want Sunday out of the way so we can focus on, you know, games that we want to be win. You know, we want to win every game, right? No, don't please don't pick me up wrong on that. We want to win every game. But you know what I mean? Games that, like, well, it's more than our grasp to actually win these games.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that this, you know, that this game could get out of our hands very quickly if we're not careful. You know, like I say, let's be honest, I think Lamar at the moment is number three in the MVP voting at the moment. He's having that sort of season again, you know. So, you know, we're going against someone like that. And, you know, they're not just a running team anymore. Lamar seems to have, especially this year, seems to have got finally found that nice balance between being a dual threat where he can run the ball and he has that threat, but he's also dicing teams up with his arm. I don't know why this feels like it's going to be the game where OBJ has a 100-plus yard season, I mean, 100-yard game, 2 touchdowns, and he's going to absolutely fucking torture us. And we're going to be like, what the hell, you know? It just has that feeling it's going to be one of them games.
Yeah, he's not been necessarily lighting up this year, but it's one of those ones that, yeah, it's going to be this week, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got that, I think, that desire as much, you know, as... You know, fair play to the guy. He's been nothing but love for the Rams this week. But, you know, as he said, game time's game time. I've got my job to do.
Well, that's it. I mean, if anyone's not seen it, there was an interview with OBJ. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. And, you know, it was very complimentary towards the Rams. I just read off his quotes. But like you said, he did say, no, when it comes to Sunday, like, that doesn't matter. It's game time. Not. But I do want to highlight, you know, for a guy who was only with us for, like, few months technically, he said, it's a special bond I've got with those guys over there, Coop, Stafford. I still had a little group chat, talked a little trash with him this week, but it's just all love and respect. And he went as describing his stop in LA as one of the best things that's happened in his life. The whole situation organization brought me back to loving and having joy for football and understand the true professionalism and being prepared. It was just a great experience for me alongside winning a Super Bowl. So, I mean, we've had a lot of negative things to say about, like, the back office and that whatnot, but obviously for a guy like OBJ, who wasn't happy when he's in Cleveland, you know, he's came over, you know, for a few months, you know, he got the ring, and everyone says that if he didn't get injured in that Super Bowl, he was going to have one of those performances for the ages. It would have been something, you know, it's when he retires, it'll be the only thing that's missing from his career is an absolute epic Super Bowl performance and an MVP. He'll have done everything else he'll ever wanted to achieve in his career, but it's the one thing that, not only did him, but it's the one thing he's been robbed of. But, you know, a lot of us were kind of hopeful that we could have kept him because he did really add something else. But at least he's one of those players that, like, for a guy who's been compared to Von Miller, that's why I'm bringing this up. You know, that he's like, I was only there for a short time, but, you know, I still keep in contact. He's made bonds for life with some of these guys because in such a short time, they experience so much that it's going to live them for the rest of life. And it's nice to read about, and, you know, the professional as he is going to turn and say, but yeah, you know, I'll still trash talk, you know, because at the end of the day, we're, you know, we're rivals as well as, you know, teammates, I guess, like.
No, exactly.
just wanted to highlight that, but also, you know, compared to like Savon Miller and you know, Bobby Wagner, who basically were dicks, frankly, when they left us. So, yeah, so Andy, we're not expecting, so we're expecting the L for this week, then, you'd say.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do feel it's just one of them. It's just, it's too much, like I said, of a challenge for us to walk out of here with the win, with how well Baltimore are playing and the fact that, you know, they are pushing Miami for that number one seed, so they can get that bye. And I believe the Ravens are coming off their bye this week, so yeah, they've had an extra week to sort of get healthy and get a few more players back. You know, so I just don't, unfortunately, see, you know, unless they're really rusty because they've been on the bye, you know, some teams can come back out a little bit rusty. I just, yeah, unfortunately, just don't see this one going our way, unfortunately.
No. But we'll see how it goes, I guess. So, moving on. And that brings us now to the final week of the regular season of the Sleep Deprivation Bowl Championship. So, our season in our Fantasy Football League and Sleepers, 15-week season. 14-week season. And then we move into 3 weeks of playoffs. So it's the final week. Everything's shaping up nicely for a lot of people, but not necessarily for us, eh, Andy?
No, I'm definitely this year the Carolina Panthers of the league, I'm afraid. Can't buy a win to save my life.
That's another, I think you're 2-11 and now I've seen it, mate.
Yeah.
Just chalk up to experience, you know, come back strong next year, mate.
Yeah, unfortunately, like I've said, mate, much like a lot of NFL teams this year, injuries have just devastated my season.
Well, yeah. It's one of those ones, mate. You know, it's a shame that it's not like a league-wide draft because you'll be holding the number one pick.
Yeah.
You know, going into next year. So, you know, the team next year might go off to a good start there. But just looking at how things are shaping up going into the final week of the season, so Cooper Cup Division, WH, UFC Matt's 9-4, tied with DJ Wright. He's also 9-4. Lewis Pitts and Santi 7 Chelsea are 6-7. Akums wraps up their division on 5-8. And in Donald Division, Stormbusters leading the way in 8-5. EW Adam and Dave John are 7-6. Sitsio Ram is 6-7. And obviously, Andy is in last place there. Looking at the playoff picture, folks, UFC Matt will get the bye along with Stormbuster. He'll get a bye. As it stands, DBW Adam and Dave John are going to be matching up against each other unless anything changes in the final week. And Lewis Pitts and DJ Wright will make up the other first round playoff match, providing nothing changes. There's a consolation bracket for the four teams who don't make the playoffs, but I don't think of it, and I include myself in this, I don't think any of us that are in the consolation bracket are really going to be given a toss come week 15 or 16. To the McVay conference. So, Marshall Faulk division, OBJ is still missing his ACL on 9-4. Mission and Golfable 8-5. T-Boy 7-6. Artful Adams 4-9. And Chris G-Log 007 is 3-10. He's the number one pick in the conference, I guess. As the Isaac Bruce division, Nick 1004 and Lewis MUFC 99 are both duking it out on 8-5. Harold Horseman is 7-6. He would have been 8-5 if it wasn't for me this week. We'll get to that in a second. Kev M 348 6-7. And I picked up my first win in about 4 weeks. I'm 5-8. Not great, but the reason I'm saying that smugly, right, is because if anybody's seen on the Twitter account on Sunday night during the Browns game, I put out a tweet basically slating my fantasy season, how it's basically just gone shit, for lack of a better phrase. At the time, I had a 2% chance of winning. So I just gave up, didn't even bother looking. I thought, oh, I'll kind of get myself set up for waivers, you know, to try and, you know, finish the season strong. And then I seen the scoreline from my game this week, and when I looked at it, I thought, well, is that my prediction? Is it projecting me for that this week? Because I got beat last week. So I couldn't believe when actual Old Onan seen that I'd actually won by 10 points. So when I put that to you, I had something like 89 points, 2% win chance, and then logged on what was yesterday, in fact, it was Tuesday, it was, I logged on when I was doing the school run and seen that I'd amassed 149 points. Grudgingly, thanks to Debo Samuel, who got like 35 fantasy points. So I was totally blown away. And like, I've never seen like such a swing from 2% to 98. So I'm a very happy man that I picked up a win. But to be honest, it's going to be for nothing because I'm in the consolation bracket. Which consolation bracket in my conference is more like the LA Rams UK consolation bracket. So if there's a way we could trade the other guy in the consolation bracket for Andy, me, Andy, Chris and Aaron could duke out to see who's the best of the worst from the LA Rams UK team.
Well, if we do that, whoever gets me is automatically won anyway. I might as well just put the white flag up and surrender straight away. I might as well just throw the towel in there and now.
Yeah, but that's that. But obviously, for those that are going into final week of season, there's a lot still to play for in terms of, you know, that first week bye. Next week, we'll talk a bit more about the playoff, just to remind you how the structure is going to go and how we're actually going to name our fantasy football champion for 2023. But more on that next week, folks. But other than that, Andy, is there anything else from you, mate, that you'd like to discuss? Or rant, rave about before we wrap up?
Yeah, one thing is, at least we've got one half of our kicking thing sorted out, mate, because Ethan Evans had a fantastic punting game, including pinning them down at the 3 or the 2 yard line, you know, on a couple of occasions. So, you know, at least we've got looks like we've got a decent punter at least to build with. You know, and obviously, you know, Rookie of the Year and Pro Bowl votes are out, so you know, get your Pro Bowl votes in for the likes of Puka and Kevin Dotson and everybody else to, yep, you know, at least if we don't make the playoffs or, you know, don't unfortunately make the Super Bowl, you know, we can at least let them go to the Pro Bowl and, you know, show some love to the guys for what they have done so far this year, considering, you know, we were supposed to be.
I can't remember if I voted or not. Is the way they vote for the Pro Bowl now, like, so like I went on the Rams, like they basically just brought up like most of the offense and it said you've got like 8 votes and it's like, so you do your 8 votes, like it's, I think I've sent the majority of the offense to the Pro Bowl for my votes, because I thought it was like 8 votes across the whole team. And I thought, like, okay, right, I'm really need to think about this, but I could pick the 8 votes. Whereas it's like, well, you're really just voting for everyone.
I did it, I don't know whether it's different on the actual NFL website, and it was basically each position, you made 6 picks for each position. So, you know,
it gave you through the Rams website for it, which is also going to gear up to, like, just pick all our guys, please.
Yeah, you know, but, yeah, I did it through the NFL website itself, and it was basically, I think, for each position group that was 8 guys or 6 people you could pick, obviously, in no particular order he thought deserved to go, you know. But at the moment, I believe on the, you know, I don't know how, but apparently I think it's the top, I can't remember if it was the top 5 so far in quarterbacks, and Sam Howell's at number 5. And you're like, what? If he's at number, how the heck is Stafford not on there if he's there? If people think Sam Howell deserves to be in the Pro Bowl, then, you know, Stafford certainly freaking should be there.
Stafford's a fly guy, so it's not like he's upset anyone.
Yeah. You know, and I think AD at the moment is number 5, I think, for D tackles. Yeah, so like I say, if you, your thingy on the NFL website, get voting and let's try and get, you know, some more guys into luckily Puka is in there. That's one good thing.
Well, I think if Puka Nacua wasn't even in the discussion, it would just be like, what, like, well, I mean, the Pro Bowl games as it is now is kind of detracts, I guess, from the, you know, the Pro Bowl we're used to and we've kind of grown up with.
Yeah, I think it's just a nice thing to, you know, it's acknowledgement for the fact that they have played well throughout the year. And, you know, some of our guys do deserve, you know, Kevin Dotson and the likes deserve that acknowledgement of, you know, of how well they've done throughout this year, you know, to get them that Pro Bowl nod, because it does as well, I think, you know, especially, obviously, you know, we're thinking long into the future, but the likes of AD, Puka, Cooper Kupp, Stafford, I think the more like Pro Bowls and stuff you have, the more easier it is for you to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, there's a criteria like that that you need to have been to. I don't know if it's been just one, but there is definitely a criteria. Like, and like you said, the more Pro Bowls you go to, the easier it is to get voted in. But with that, then you've got to be like, again, brings back a question, how the fuck is Tory Holt the one then?
Yeah, well, now that's something that we'll just have to wait and see, and hopefully he finally gets what he thoroughly deserves.
Absolutely, mate. Right, well, if that's all from you, mate, then that about does it for this evening, folks. So, a wee bit of change this week. This episode didn't go live on our social media channels just because we are tinkering about with our streaming software just to see about any potential applications you can use for it. The podcast will get broadcasted. It's a little bit delayed. It's a pre-recording. So stick with us, folks. We're trying to look at ways we can improve the podcast a bit further. Maybe break it down a bit more so you can maybe get parts of the episodes at the start of the week and there's no parts at the end. So we'll explore some opportunities there. So bear with us, folks. We'll probably back to the usual full episode recording live next week. This is just more a kind of trial session.
Yeah. Also, one thing before I forget, over the next few weeks heading towards the end of the season, on the website there's going to be a few written articles coming up on various things. There'll be, you know, standard, you know, which of our free agents should we sign and which we should let walk. Potentially there'll also be realistic targets in the you know, in free agency when that comes around. Potentially even we may even do some once sort of the draft picks are settled and in, you know, who's picking where, we might even do a like last year, a potential, you know, we'll do a live mock draft for everybody to sort of, you know, look through positions. And we may also do a written article on their position breakdowns, what we feel the team needs the most, and potential players we should draft.
Yeah, I think based on the mock draft episode we did last year and then the post-draft episode we did this year, there definitely was a lot of appetite for that content, to the point that our post-draft episode was our best, you know, listened to viewed episode of the last 12 months. So we will definitely look to improve and invest more time into that to make it even better, because, you know, I don't know, but you'll probably agree, Andy, it was a very enjoyable experience doing mock draft and then, you know, seeing if we got any guys to talk about. Well, we picked these guys, they didn't pick, that's where they went. I really enjoyed it because it's the first time in many years we're actually, you know, delved properly into the draft.
Yeah, and potentially, you know, but barring any less need miracles, we're actually going to be, you know, picking in the first round, which is kind of going to be...
I'm seeing it right now. We're trading that first round pick because we're going to be, especially if we make the playoffs, that first round pick will get traded. I'm calling it now.
Yeah, I don't think Les Snead will get to the first round and go, supposed to do something. No, he'll probably be like, I'll just go to bed. We're not picking in the first round. And then someone will make him up and go,
Yeah,
you forfeited it because you never bothered to pick anybody because you forgot about it.
But yeah, so that's future. Yeah, so as Andy's saying, folks, keep your eye on the website, lerams.uk. There'll be a few articles appearing there, especially the one Andy's talking about, the kind of free agency, you know, re-signing one. It's always a great read to see who we've got in the team, what, you know, what they're kind of on, you know, and what, whether or not we should re-sign them. It's always a great read, and I very much look forward to that as well. But there should hopefully be some more of our articles, you know, kind of appearing over the kind of coming weeks and months as we dust the cobwebs off our neglected website. But keep an eye on that, folks. But apart from that, Andy, always a pleasure, mate.
Yep, same as well, mate. Always a pleasure. And, you know, let's hope we're back next week for a shock win and, you know, we're all jumping on the playoff hype.
You know, stranger things have happened, mate. Start the season, we thought we're going to be nothing. Let's tank it. No, let's make a run at it now, folks. So
yeah, exactly.
Who knows? We'll see you next week, folks, for another edition of the LA Rams UK podcast. Good night and see you next week.